In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the epistle lesson in 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. And the tax collector, who would not even look up to his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our Lord Jesus Christ tells us what it means to be truly righteous and justified before God. And what I'm going to do this morning is give you the conclusion of the sermon before I preach the sermon, because I want you to see what Jesus is getting at in this text. If I want to be truly righteous and justified before God the Father, who knows our hearts, to be truly righteous, our sins must be covered with the righteousness of Jesus. To be truly justified, we must be declared innocent in the courtroom of God because of the merits of Christ. It's kind of like this. We can either live like a Pharisee who is like a cup of water completely filled with ourselves and God can't pour anything into it. Or we can be like the tax collector, empty, and God must fill us with his mercy. Jesus told this parable today to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous in themselves, and they treated others with contempt. Today our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to live a different life, a life of a cup that needs to be filled with God's mercy, and Christ Jesus fills us with himself. During 2011, as we continue to walk as one family and one mission in our church and school and campus ministry, we want to be truly righteous and justified, but we cannot do so in ourselves, only in the mercy of Christ. And so, in the text today, we will see three aspects of the Christian life. First of all, God's mercy for sinners. Secondly, God's exaltation of the humble. And thirdly, God's kingdom for childlike faith. So let's first of all briefly look at God's mercy for sinners. There's a Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple courts. The Pharisees are the religious leaders of the day, the people that you would look up to. Tax collectors were swindlers because the Romans said, charge this much tax, but they would double the tax, take half for themselves, give half to the Romans. They were cheating people. The two men are standing together in the temple courts praying. And I want you to picture the temple courts. The temple is up at the center where the priests will offer the sacrifices, but the courtyard around the temple is probably 20 acres of outside space with a stone pavement. Thousands of people will be praying and bringing up their sacrifices to the temple. Here stands the Pharisee, so all eyes can see him, looking up to heaven, saying by himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like all these other people here, these extortioners, these unjust people, these adulterers, and even this tax collector, for I tithe, I fast twice a week, and I tithe of all that I have. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went back to his house. He was not justified. He was like a cup filled with himself. He didn't think that he even needed God's mercy. And then over on the side, in the back, is the tax collector. He knows his sin. He is praying to God and he stands far off. He doesn't even look up with his eyes to heaven, but beats his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, that's the man who went home justified. How can this be? Because he was a cup that was empty, and he let Jesus, God in his mercy, fill it. God's mercy is for sinners. Every one of us in this room is a sinner. We have committed sins of thought and word and deed. We have committed sins. We have omitted to do that which was right. That is why we began the service with a public confession of sin, a thought, word, and deed, and then heard the words of Christ of absolution and forgiveness. That is why people come privately to me as pastor and confess their sin and kneel there in my office and confess those things that weigh heavy upon them, and they hear the sweet words of Christ, I forgive your sin and remove it as far as the east is from the west. That is why we sing in the service, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy on me. God is merciful. Jesus is mercy incarnate. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus continues to give us at this table his body and blood. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Sins upon your heart, the sin and the guilt that you feel, Jesus came to remove that, to be merciful to you, as he was merciful to the tax collector. So to be truly righteous and justified in the sight of God is to have God's mercy for you and me as sinners. And in Christ, then, who died and rose in our place, we are accounted righteous. Secondly, if you want to be truly righteous and justified, God exalts the humble. Having told this incident and story, Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. Did you notice how in God's kingdom everything is the reverse of the way the world does things? Christ exalts the humble and brings down the proud. Exalting oneself is a picture of arrogance, of unbelief, and such people will be brought down on Judgment Day. Humility, the confessing of our sin, and being exalted in the forgiveness of Christ is a picture of repentance and faith and being lifted up. So on that last day we will stand when the Son of Man appears. God continually brings down the proud and lifts up the humble. It was true in Genesis. Cain, in pride, offered up a sacrifice that was not acceptable to the Lord, but Abel humbled himself in repentant faith and gave the first fruits of the flock. It was also true for Paul. Oh, how humbled Paul was, who he had been a Pharisee and persecuted the church, and he was poured out like a drink offering in his life, constantly suffering from the gospel, he says, even brought before the lion's mouth and rescued. But the Lord stood by him and strengthened him so that he could continually serve God's heavenly kingdom. God is still in the business of lifting up the humble. But keep in mind, it's Jesus who is the truly humble one. It is in Christ's suffering, his betrayal by Peter, by Judas, his denial by Peter, being scourged by the soldiers and spat upon and crucified and buried, raised to the right hand of God, ascended, returning in glory, Jesus still shares our flesh and blood, still has the marks to show us how he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. It was at that temple, by the way, that the priest would continually bring up the sacrifices of the lambs and the goats, the Day of Atonement, to be sacrificed. But Christ, when he came to God's temple upon the cross, was the one perfect lamb. The one sacrifice for all time, the shedding of his blood, is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. The Lamb of God truly does take away the sin of the world. And because you're living in the world, that means he took away your sin and my sin. So God is the one who shows mercy for sinners. He is the one who exalts the humble. And lastly, God's kingdom is for those of childlike faith. After Jesus has taught this lesson of mercy and humility, he notices something. The mothers are bringing their infants to Jesus so he would touch them. And the disciples are rebuking the mothers and telling them, get these kids out of here. There is some humor here. Here comes a mom. Here, Jesus, bless my baby. And here comes Peter and James. Get these kids out of here. Get these kids out of here. Don't bother them. And Jesus says, no, no. Bring the little children to me. For of such is the kingdom of God. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. And then he looks at all the adults and says, I tell you, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. You see that baptismal font over there? Hundreds, even thousands of children over the last 120 years have been brought before this font and the font that's in the narthex, obeying the words of Christ, to bring the little children to me. God places his hands on these babies as they are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And whether you were baptized as an infant or a child or a teenager or an adult, you were to have a childlike faith, like an infant. I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, he says, will never enter it. What a beautiful picture of humility and mercy. Jesus doesn't look at all the adults and Jesus doesn't look at all the children and say, all you little kids, you gotta be like adults. He doesn't do that. He says, all you people, you hard-headed men, women, and young people and old people, all of you, you are called to be like a child. Come in a humble faith, seeking God's mercy. So in conclusion, as I said at the beginning, if you want to be truly justified, if you want to be truly righteous in the sight of God, you must have the righteousness of Christ that covers your sin. You must be declared righteous in the courtroom of God because of the merits of Christ. And that is what you have. And in word and sacrament, it personally intersects with your life. We are Trinity Lutheran Church. We are one family and one mission. As we continue the work passed on to us by past generations in our church and school and campus ministry, we joyfully give of the first fruits of our gifts of time, talent, and treasures, not because we have to, but because we want to. And we give of our sacrifices and our first fruits. We give Jesus the best. Why? Because we have experienced God's mercy. We know the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a childlike faith and have been placed in God's kingdom. And we, with St. Paul, are looking forward to that day when, having fought the good fight of faith, we will receive the crown of righteousness that's been laid up for us, whom the righteous judge, our Lord Jesus Christ, will award on that day to all who love his appearing. God grant for us such mercy, such humility, and such childlike faith. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.